Today on Real Radio.
Prayer has been heard. That's very significant, people. This non-believer, he has uttered a prayer. It's made a difference. Listen, put your thinking caps on. While he was doing this, God was answering his prayer. What do you think his prayer was? Jesus, are you there? I want to know you. Can I have the peace of eternal life? That's the prayer he heard. Well, when was Peter dispatched? What was going on? God was working in the life of Peter. God was working in the life of Cornelius. Cornelius is praying. God is sending the answer. Does Cornelius know the answer is on its way?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We've arrived at chapter 10. In fact, we'll be looking at verse 23 all the way to the end. The first nine chapters of this book tell us how the first believers were Jews. In fact, they numbered into the thousands. But Peter was instructed by Almighty God to take the gospel to the Gentiles. He meets up with a man, a Gentile, named Cornelius. Well, Cornelius receives Christ, and the work of God, the Holy Spirit, follows shortly thereafter. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Holy Spirit Comes to the Gentiles.
He's fasting, Cornelius is, verse 30, and he's praying until this hour, the ninth hour, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And by the way, it must have been at that very hour. I mean, Peter's talking to him, and he said, in this very hour. So it's we know that Peter meets up with him at 3 o'clock. He looks at his sundial on his watch, on his wrist, and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's the time for prayer. Well, this is interesting. Listen to this. He says in verse 30 that he was praying in his house, and behold, a man stood before him in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer, not prayers like last week, now it's prayer has been heard. That's very significant, people. This non-believer, he has uttered a prayer. It's made a difference. Listen, put your thinking caps on. While he was doing this, God was answering his prayer. What do you think his prayer was? Jesus, are you there? I want to know you. Can I have the peace of eternal life? That's the prayer he heard. Well, when was Peter dispatched? What was going on? God was working in the life of Peter. God was working in the life of Cornelius. Cornelius is praying. God is sending the answer. Does Cornelius know the answer is on its way? He does not. He doesn't know for a fact. Are you praying right now for something? Are you praying for something or for someone? The answer hasn't come yet? Hey, the answer is on its way. I can guarantee you that. But God doesn't hear me. Oh, he's heard you. The answer's coming. Just be patient. Remember Daniel? Daniel's praying how long? 21 days. He's praying, asking God for direction. And on the very first day of his prayer, God says to some angel, he says, hey, go take Daniel the answer. So the angel takes off from heaven, starts going down, heading over to Daniel. He's hanging out in Baghdad today, Babylon. And the angel's going down there to give Daniel the answer. But some demonic angel meets him in the atmosphere, Daniel, in the book of Daniel, and they start to have a big war, and they're fighting and just going at it in the atmosphere, invisible to us. 21 days they're fighting. And it's great. Have you ever seen those police officers? They got the thing on the shoulder. You know, they pull you over and they go, yeah, we need a backup. We got like a live wire over here. And the guy talks into that little mouthpiece thing on his shoulder. You know, we need backup, you know. That's exactly what that angel did. He did. He had a little thing on his robe. And that angel put out a cry to God and said, I need backup. And God dispatched Michael, the archangel. Archangel. Arch means buffed angel. And he came. And Michael shows up and just dukes out this demon spirit in the atmosphere. Just knocks him out. You loved to have seen that. Hey, what are you doing with my butt here? Leave him alone. And that angel, that private or lieutenant or whatever he was, gets sent off down to Daniel. And it took 21 days for the answer to get there. Cornelius is crying out to God, and God is sending the answer. He's not aware of it. So is God sending you the answer. You may not be aware of it. You need to be patient. The answer's coming. It says in verse 32, send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon a tanner by the sea, and when he comes, he will speak to you. Verse 33, so I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things God commanded you. Give us a sermon, Peter. I love Peter was reaching in his robe for notes. He didn't know this was happening. Now, verses 34, mark it, verses 34 to 43, is that the Holy Spirit comes to the Gentiles by proclamation of the truth. The Holy Spirit comes because the Word of God is preached by proclamation. Listen to this, verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth. The word means to gape. His mouth fell open. And God filled it, is what's implied. God filled his mouth with words. And he said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. God's not divided on who goes to heaven and who doesn't go to heaven. James chapter 2, verse 9, jot it down. James warns us there, but if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law. Are you prejudiced at all? God have mercy on you. It's one of the sins of Satan to be prejudiced. Well, you don't know how I was brought up. I don't. In all due respect, I don't care how you're brought up. You're a Christian now. Jesus loves all people. Give it to God. Let him deal with it. What an awesome eye-opening event in the life of Peter. And as I study this, this struck me, and I hope it gets you like it got me. Peter says, I perceive that God is not divided on who he saves. Do you realize that this is the foundation for missions ministry right here? You want to know why? What if the Jerusalem church would have said, hey, we're saved. Shine the rest of you guys. Hey, we got our church. It's doing fine. See you later. Be warmed and be filled. Bye-bye. Peter goes, my goodness, even Gentiles can get saved. Hey, this could be quite a thing. We could have Apostle Rosh. We could go to the other side of the world and get people saved. The kingdom of God could grow, not based upon color or persuasion, upbringing, nationality. You see how liberating this is? Peter set free. He becomes a missionary. I perceive that God is not a respecter. He's not partial. And that's the way every missions-minded church ought to be. Listen, I'll be real honest with you. I don't care where we go in the world, just so we go. I don't care where. If somebody calls up from Buenos Aires and says, come on down, let's go. You know why? Because they're lost. That's all I need to hear. That's all you need to hear. They're not going to heaven, so let's go. That's Peter. Hot dog, look at this. Boy, this is absolutely mind-shattering for him. Verse 35, but in every nation, whoever fears him, the word is to have reverence or awe. It's not to be afraid of God. It means to be in awe of God. And works righteousness is accepted by him. What is the working of righteousness? Jack, I thought you said we can't go to heaven by being good. The word good is taken out of the root word, God. Good, God. Jesus said, hey, why do you call me good? There's only one good but God. Good is God. There is nobody outside of God that's good. Isaiah 64, verses 4 through 6. Isaiah chapter 64, verses 4 through 6 tells us in verse 6 that our righteousness, that is our good works, hang on to your seats, don't walk out of the building all upset at me. I didn't write the Bible. Just listen. All of our righteousness, that is our good works, is as filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities are like the wind that drives us away. Here's the part that's tough. In the Hebrew, the word filthy is the word aid. And there's only one way to interpret it. There's only one word for it. Isaiah said that our righteousness is as a woman's monthly cycle. That's the word. What? Filthy rags. The word rags in the Hebrew is coverings or wrappings about the waist. Begad. Our good works when we stand before God is as a filthy rag. And you go, man, that's in the Bible? Listen, not only is that in the Bible, but a Jewish mind, when he would think such a thing, would just freak out. Scream! Ah! Gross! And God says, oh yeah? When you come to me and you say, well, God, I thank you that I'm not like this guy. I thank you that I fast twice a week and I give all that I own to the poor. God goes, gross! Makes him sick. He says, a broken heart and a contrite spirit I will not refuse. When we come before God and we say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God says, all right. Man, that sounds good to me. Come on in. Jesus said, I didn't come to save the healthy. And that is healthy in their own mind. He said, I've come to heal the sick. The sick who are sin sick. That's why he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Doesn't mean you have a little spirit. It means you have a spirit that is so sensitive, it's repulsed at your sin, and you want to get the sin away from your life. Jesus says, that's a poor in spirit person, and I'll save them. I'll draw them. Isn't that good news? Can you say that, man? Are you poor in spirit? Do you hate your sin? If you are, man, Jesus will not refuse your heart. I praise the Lord that no matter who we are or what we are, we cannot persuade God unless we're in Jesus Christ. God is not impressed if you come walking in, well, God, you know, I give $1,000 a week to the church, and this is what I want. God says, excuse me? Well, after all, I'm CEO of IBM, and I have a PhD. God says, big deal. I am so blessed to tell you and to enjoy it myself that not only is God the God of the beauty, but he's also God of the beast. He's not so interested in the lifestyles of the rich and famous. He's interested in the lifestyles of the righteous and faithful. He's got a heart toward us freely. He loves us. Cornelius is hearing this news. And he says in verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, that he is Lord of all. And that is the dual peace. Peace of God, you can have that right now. And peace with God, that means you and God aren't fighting anymore. That word you know, verse 37, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Listen to this, verse 38. Here's the message. This is the gospel. This is the gospel given. How God anointed Jesus, and that is exclusively, Jesus, it is implied here, is the only Savior. He's not some of the others. He's the only one. There's not going to be another. With the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. That's the kind of Jesus I want. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed. Peter is getting the message. The Jewish people, the unbelieving, slew him. Peter now is beginning to see, hey, wait a minute, I'm not them. Verse 40, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, raised from the dead. He's giving them the gospel. And showed him openly. That word is showed, displayed him or announced him. It's the same word that applies when Jesus was baptized. You remember the heavens opened up and the Father said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Same word, displayed him. Look at verse 41. Not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us, listen, who ate and drank with Jesus after he rose from the dead. You know why he said that? Because there were Gnostics running around. And they're still running around. They come to your door on Saturday mornings. They really do. And they say, you know what? We believe in Jesus. Well, do you believe that he rose from the dead? Sure do. Do you believe that he's coming back and his glorified body? Well, you know, Jesus, when he rose from the dead, was a spirit. He wasn't a body, they'll tell you. And you go, wait a minute. My Bible says that Jesus was raised from the dead bodily. In fact, the very word resurrection means to have your body come out of the grave, not something else. Jesus rose from the dead, and it says here that he ate, that they ate and they drank with him. Why did he throw that funny little thing in there? Well, this is pretty neat because the word ate there is a dual word, and it means actually double, double. Burgers, fries, shakes. He ate. When Jesus showed up, you look at it, you study him. It really, it is. Go look at it in your lexicon. It'll tell you all about it. When you see Jesus showing up after his resurrection, what's he doing every time? Got anything to eat? Isn't it funny? You got anything to eat? He shows up on the seashore. Hey, guys, come on over. He's been barbecuing fish. And you take that fish and put in a little corn tortilla with salsa and lettuce. He ate. You read about heaven. What goes on in heaven? You know what we do in heaven? Two things. We give glory to God and we eat. Look in your Bible. Eating all the time. I love it. Jesus comes from the dead. Let's eat. That's great. See, the Gnostics denied that. And I love the fact in Matthew 24, we're talking bodily resurrection here. In Matthew 24, verse 36, as the disciples were all hanging around, they're totally depressed and dejected because Jesus was crucified and he's been in the grave and now it's been 3 days and they're all bummed out. In Luke 24, 36, it says, now as they were there, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, peace to you. Why? Because they didn't have any peace. But they were terrified and frightened, supposed that they had seen a ghost. Jesus said, verse 39, behold, my hands and my feet, it's I, it's me, myself, handle me and see. You can't squeeze a ghost. You can't give him a hug. And it says there in Luke 24, 41, but while they still did not believe for joy, they were afraid to have this much joy. Can this be true? They marveled. And he said to them, have you any food? Got anything to eat? Well, Lord, we only have a double-double of fries and a shake. And he took it. No, I do not own stock in In-N-Out. I just enjoy it. It's where the Lord eats. The point is, he is physically resurrected from the dead. And that is the gospel, and I wonder how many times you and I are so spoiled because we live in a place we get the gospel all the time. You go outside this area, and there's a dearth in the land for it to get the gospel. We just, whatever. We got 10 stations to choose from. We got a phone call this week from Indiana. The people in Indiana, in this little town, they're saying, can you guys come on the radio here, please? We get your tapes, and we pass them all around town. You ought to just come on the radio here. I thought that was kind of cute myself, personally, Indiana. You know, I've never been there, but I thought, well, that's kind of neat. We don't need it here. There's too much word going on here. That's great. God wants to move. And listen to what happens here. We'll pick up the pace. It says in verse 42, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge, and that is Jesus is judge of the living and the dead. Jesus will judge everyone in the end. And in verse 43, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever, you ought to circle the word whoever. That word means you. You are a whoever. Are you doubting your salvation? You're a whoever. Now get this. This is so excellent. Verse 43, this is what happens. When Peter makes this statement that all of the prophets witnessed that through his name, whoever, Cornelius locks onto that whoever. He says, wait a minute. Now, you're not going to read this in the Bible, but it's implied in the Greek language. Cornelius went, wait, whoever, that's me. He took the message, made it personal. Watch what happens. Whoever would believe in him will receive remission of sins, absolute forgiveness of your sins. Did you cuss today? Did you lie this morning? Did you beat somebody up last night? Did you get drunk? Did you look at some woman or some man and desire them in your heart? All the sins of your life have been racked up against you, and you're standing there naked and open before God, with whom you must give an account. And Jesus steps in and says, hey, you believe on me, and I'll wipe all that away. You got a better deal than that? It's incredible. It's awesome. And that clicked in Cornelius' mind. He got it. He became born again at that moment as he received the word of God. When that word, whosoever, went out, you'll be forgiven of your sins. And he said, I got it. Look what happens. This totally cracks me up. Verse 44, while Peter's speaking, the Holy Spirit came on them, interrupted the whole thing. He fell upon them all.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Holy Spirit Comes to the Gentiles. It's a look at the latter half of chapter 10 of the book of Acts, a very pivotal point where Messianic Judaism spreads out into the Gentile nations. We'll continue with more of our journey through the book of Acts on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now that we're well into the fall season, we'd like to remind you about an opportunity for a tax deduction before the year is out. We at Real Radio are making an offer that is beneficial in three ways. First, your contribution of any amount to Real Radio keeps this biblically based program on the airways. Secondly, whatever you send is tax deductible. And third, you'll receive Pastor Jack's 2-CD set called When a Christian Prays. When a Christian Prays has already helped thousands of believers in understanding the proper biblical view of prayer. Does prayer really change things? Well, find out. Visit us at realradioactive.org and look for the banner Special Offer. The 2-CD set of Pastor Jack's teaching, When a Christian Prays, is yours. Just send a gift of any amount in support of Real Radio. Now, you can order online at realradioactive.org, again, realradioactive.org, or get in touch by telephone, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. And in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.